God, in the glory and the beauty of this moment, we exalt your name above all. And in Jesus we pray, amen. Be seated. Stan, if you'll bring up that first slide, I'm going to set up a couple of things up here today. I used the whiteboard last Sunday, and I enjoyed that, so I'm going to do it again today. And so there's a Stan on that slide. There is a picture, I believe it's slide 2, and I'd like you to put it up there. All right. And I want y'all to see if you recognize any people in that picture. Can everyone on my right, your left, see this white marker board? Can you see that? Okay, very good, very good. Now, from what I understand, they're drinking, I think it's apple juice. I'm not for sure in the picture, but it looks like apple juice to me. And I got to thinking about, should I put this slide up or not in church? And I thought, well, when you read the Bible is full of shady characters. So anyway, I thought I might put some up here. So does anybody recognize anyone in this picture? How many of you have ever purchased anything from eBay? I'm not going to embarrass you, or it's like, John, is this a trick question? And I'm going to raise my hand and you're going to trick me and I'm going to feel really silly in front of everybody. Okay, so now, just how many of you have bought something on eBay? Keep your hands up for just a moment. All right, now, how many of you have paid for something on eBay using a program called PayPal? All right, how many of you, in addition to those on eBay, how many have used PayPal just in any kind of e-commerce trade? All right, well, I want to introduce you to the people that created PayPal. And they have been paid, and they are pals. I wouldn't say it's a very popular picture, because obviously no one in here has seen this picture before. But there's some interesting people in this picture that I want to introduce to you today. The first guy up there at number one, his name is Jawid Kareem. Jawid Kareem, right there, number one. Let me share with you what his role in PayPal was. And I'm going to share with you what he did after PayPal. That's what I'm going to do with every character that's up here. I'm going to tell you what they did at PayPal, and then I'm going to tell you what they've done since PayPal. Okay. The first one is Jawid Kareem. He designed and implemented PayPal's incendiary fast anti-fraud system. So you can't do PayPal without Jawid. And after PayPal, do you know that PayPal sold? Does anyone know who bought PayPal? Anyone? eBay did. Do you know how much they paid for PayPal? How much? $4 plus about $1.5 billion. That's with a B. That's $1,500 million that they paid. And they sold that company to PayPal to eBay in 2003. After PayPal, Kareem and a couple other PayPal colleagues founded a video sharing site in 2005, and they named that, let's see, I don't know if you have ever heard of this or not, but they created this thing called YouTube. How many of you have used YouTube before? And it just so happens that Google liked YouTube and decided that they wanted to buy YouTube. And so Google purchased YouTube in November of 2006 for $1.5 billion. Okay, that's what he did after PayPal. Kareem cashed in his 137,443 shares of stock for a nice payment of $64 million. He has a net worth of $140 million. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Jawid Kareem. Number two, this guy right here. His name is Jeremy Stoppelman. He joined PayPal before PayPal was PayPal. It was called X.com. It was created by a guy named Ellen or Elon Musk, and we'll talk about him shortly. He's not in that picture, but we'll talk. And this guy, Jeremy, became vice president of engineering. After PayPal sold, he decided to go to Harvard Business School, this guy right here, because he hadn't been to college. So he wanted to go to Harvard, and he could afford Harvard now. So he goes to Harvard Business School, and it just so happened that while he was at Harvard, he came down with the flu. And he was asking some people what doctor he should go see, and nobody could give him a decent recommendation. And so he became frustrated about that, and he thought, wouldn't it be great to create an online professional recommendation program or a platform? And so Jeremy decided to create a company called Yelp. How many of you have ever heard of Yelp? Where they share professional information and recommendations about others. His net worth right now is somewhere between $111 and $222 million. Kind of a young guy to have so much net worth. I like to use the term financial net worth, but I've got a little different take on net worth than some people have. Okay, number three. There he is right there. Number three, Andrew McCormack. He joined PayPal in 2001. He helped prepare PayPal for its initial IPO, initial public offering. And he helped Peter Thiel, and I'll talk about him shortly, set up another company. After they sold PayPal, he helped Peter Thiel, who's up there, and I'll show you him in just a moment. They created a hedge fund called Clarium Capital, and Andrew's, his net worth is unknown at this time. All right, number four, this cat right there, number four over there in the corner. I hope I say his name correct. It's Primal Shah. He spent 6 years at the company PayPal as the product manager. And after PayPal sold, he became a president of a nonprofit organization called Kiva. Has anyone ever heard of Kiva? It's where you can become a bank. What Kiva does is it gives loans with interest. So you through this website can become somebody that's kind of a loan shark. You don't have to set up a shop out here, you know, and charge somebody 29.999% interest. Why you can, it's not as much interest, but you can loan money through Kiva to people for education, for small business microloans, and it is like loan networking and sharing. And you can make money doing that through this nonprofit. The site raises $1 million every 3 days. He looks pretty young to be doing something like that. I don't know about you. All right, number five, this guy right here. His name is Luke Nosek. He's one of the co-founders along with Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, and Ken Howerwe. And I'll share those guys in just a moment. And he was friends with a guy from the University of Illinois whose name is Max Levkin. And Max was involved in the initial start of PayPal. After the sale of PayPal to eBay, Nosek traveled the world for a year, very extravagantly and luxuriously. And then he started a venture capital firm in San Francisco called Founders Firm with Peter Thiel and Ken Howery, who are also up here in this picture. His net worth is unknown. All right, number six is Ken Howery, that guy right there. All right, he was the co-founder and chief financial officer of PayPal between 1998 and 2002. After PayPal was sold, he joined Thiel at his at a venture capital business called Clarium Capital, and then started Founders Fund with Thiel and Nosek. So they've got a couple of hedge funds going there after the sale of PayPal. In 2012, he founded Pope Expert. Anybody ever heard of Pope Expert? Pope Expert is a place where you can go online if you need professional, like it's, you can talk face-to-face with someone who, like if you've got an engineering problem, you can get online with other engineers and y'all can solve that together, okay? If you need to know how to put a fence post down in the ground, you can go to that site and you can solve how to put fence posts in the ground together. It's a place where you can get expert advice, Pope Expert. And if you want to, you can consult with this guy online at Pope Expert, but his fee is $100,000 to consult with him. So I don't know if you could afford that or not. But anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. Number seven, David Dax, that gentleman right there, David Dax, co-founder of and CEO of PayPal. I'm sorry, no, let me back up. David Dax, he's the chief operating officer of PayPal. he produced, after PayPal sold, he produced a Hollywood movie. And it was a Golden Globe nominated movie in 2005 called Thank You for Smoking. And then he founded a genealogy website called Genie.com. Anyone ever heard of Genie.com? He founded that one. And he was, in his business, he was frustrated with the problem of inter-office communications, like they were not going well. And his solution to that was to create a platform for sharing information in the inter-office way, and it became known as Yammer. And Yammer was purchased by Microsoft for $1.2 billion in 2012. Are you following this? Net worth, unknown. Peter Thiel, this cat right there, he helped found it. He's the CEO of PayPal. After PayPal sold, he sold to eBay his earnings, which was $55 million. It was a 3.7% stake. All right. And then he founded a hedge fund, and he made a savvy investment. This guy right here, there was a struggling, fledgling social network site that was trying to get up and going, and he helped him out with a $500,000 loan investment. And it just so happens that social network site that he invested in was known as Facebook. And when Facebook went public, he decided to sell his shares in Facebook, and he earned, with the selling of his shares, $1 billion. That's with a B. His net worth right here is $2.2 billion. Keith Raboy, number 9, right there. He was the executive vice president at PayPal. After it sold, he started a venture capital firm, or he became a partner at the venture capital firm called Koshla Ventures, and serves on the board of directors of Yelp and Zoom. X-Zoom, it's X-O-O-M. Anyway, his net worth is $1 billion. Pretty interesting guy. I hate to move on, but we shall. Number 10, Reid Hoffman, that guy right there with the gold bicycle chain around his neck. He was the executive vice president at PayPal. He's referred to as the most connected man in Silicon Valley. And he co-founded a business social network called, anybody ever heard of LinkedIn? He owns a stake in the company, now worth an estimated $2.39 billion. LinkedIn was his brainchild. His net worth is $3.9 billion. And then number 11 right here, this guy right there, his name is Matt Levkin. Matt is the one, he's a co-founder of PayPal. He was the chief technology officer. He made $34 million from the PayPal sale, and then he found another program called Slide, which was bought by Google a few years later for $182 million. Google likes to buy a lot of things. And his net worth is $300 million. And then there's Roelof Botha, or Botha. He's from South Africa. He joined PayPal when he was still in college at Stanford University. He hadn't even graduated yet, and he became the director of corporate development. He was a well-qualified actuary, and he helped negotiate PayPal's sale to eBay for $1.5 billion. After PayPal, he joined a venture capital giant called Sequoia Capital, and he entered as a partner. I don't know if y'all understand what that means. It means he had to front a bunch of cash to become partner. His net worth is unknown. A few more. Where is it? Number 13, Russell Simmons right here. He was the software architect of PayPal. After PayPal, he helped co-found Yelp with Jeremy Stropelman. And then he launched another platform called Learning and Nirvana. So it's Learnvana. There we go. Learnvana. In 2012, which tutors people on how to learn a different language. All right, Stan, go to the next slide. Does anybody recognize this guy right here? Anybody ever heard of Space Exploration Technologies? It's the first guy to put a spacecraft and dock it at the International Space Station. He didn't do it, but his company that he started did. His name is Elon Musk, and he started SpaceX. And back in 2012, it was the Dragon spacecraft was the first one to dock at the International Space Station that was not a government space program. And then also, in addition to SpaceX, he took over the responsibility for a company called Tesla. Have any of you ever heard of Tesla? Tesla is this up-and-coming car company that's going to be making cars with it to run off of batteries. And they're already doing it, and they're already selling cars. He also just bought a huge place in Nevada where they're going to be building the batteries for the cars for the company Tesla. Okay. His estimated net worth, does anybody really want to know? $9.7 billion. $9.7 billion. I want to talk today for just a moment, because I don't think you'll get this text. This provides a glorious contrast on a macro super scale, in contrast to what I believe Jesus is wanting us to know today. If you've ever studied anything to do with business, it's business, great business, building a great business is all about networking. It's where you take your giftedness and your hard work and attach that to important connections. And then that creates the synergy by which businesses flourish. And we would say it like this: networking is everything. It's not what you know, it's also, help me church, it's who you know. It's who you know. And so when you put 14 gifted, determined pals together, it's likely that those 14 gifted, determined pals will become pay pals. Now, I kind of think that's interesting, the name that they chose, because I don't know if they meant that we were pals with them in paying, or that once we paid, the pals got paid. I don't know. Anyway, I think it cuts both ways. PayPals. Here's what we're talking about today. What we're talking about, well, in this situation, think about this. You have Elon Musk and two other guys created a business known as PayPal that created three billionaires and 11 multi-millionaires. Not millionaire, I'm talking multi-millionaires. Okay? The concept that I want you to think about today is in one word. And it might not be a word that we use all the time, but here it is. Reciprocity. Reciprocity. You may not know the word reciprocity, but there is another word called reciprocal, right? What's that? That's like being in the loop. Like last Sunday, Larry Fulmer, I had called Larry and I asked Larry, I said, listen, I need a favor. Do you know why I asked him to do a favor? Because we reciprocate. We have a mutually beneficial relationship. So I called a favor on him, all right? Because I've helped him and he's helped me. That's what friends do. We're networking. We're socializing. We're connected. I called him and said, hey, can you cut me a log? I want to chop a log in church tomorrow. He's like, are you kidding me? I take no responsibility if anybody's injured. But he brought it for me. That's networking. That's that social network. What we experienced was reciprocity. The company LinkedIn, it capitalizes on established connections of successful people. And so we're talking about in this text this morning in Luke chapter 14. Turn with me in your Bibles. I'm only fishing for one point today. I'm only fishing for one point. And it's in great contrast to the world in which you and I live, by which relationships that we make are based on this right here. Go to the next slide, Stan. It's based on this right here. That stands for what's in it for me. Most of us live our lives in this kind of way. Let's see here. I'm going to make a Venn diagram up here. I got this because I can make a circle much better when I got something like this that I can trace. I was much better at tracing than drawing on my own. All right. Can y'all see this or mostly see it? All right. All right. What we have up here is a circle that represents me connected with others, and what we share together here in the middle is what we'll call that which reciprocates. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. Let's read the text. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors." Go to the next slide. It's up here on the text. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness of the righteous. Have any of you ever had the difficulty of putting together an invitation list? I mean, you put on a party, maybe it's a wedding, maybe it's a birthday party, or some kind of 50th wedding anniversary, or 25th silver, or you name whatever it is. You know, you're thinking through, who all do we want to invite, and who's going to be on the A-list, and who's going to get in the seats of prominence, and all those kinds of things. Jesus has been invited to a banquet, if we remember in the text earlier, at the beginning of Luke 14. And he's a prominent Pharisee, and he's invited others. Don't you know that he and they had this kind of relationship? And by inviting them to this big banquet, he easily, like all of us, could call favors that would be mutually beneficial for them. And there was one guy that was invited to the banquet, and remember, he was sick. He had dropsy, he had edema, fluid retained in his body. He's an outlier, but he was invited to the banquet. But I believe he's more bait than blessed by the host, because he's being used as bait to trick Jesus into healing on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, at this dinner place, he says to the host, he's talking specifically to the prominent Pharisee about who should be on his invitation list. Now, how many of you have been to a party in which you were on an invitation list and you went to the host and said, "I don't know if you should have invited those people over there. I can't believe you didn't invite so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I can't believe you're throwing this party without them." Would you ever do that? No, because you do not tell the one who's providing the banquet what they should and should not do. I find it fascinating because Jesus does. And Jesus says, when you throw a banquet, you guys are throwing it so that people experience this mutually beneficial relationship shared in the middle. You want repayment in life. And what Jesus wants us to understand is the blessed one is the one who blesses those who cannot bless in return. The blessed one is the one who blesses those who cannot bless in return. Remember what was shared about Jesus in Acts chapter 20. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So now, here's what a lot of us may do in our thinking. You know, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, who are the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind in my midst? Who are the ones that are the outliers of my life? Because here's what I see God saying. What God wants to do is he's saying, look, you're drawing too many distinctions. The Lord God Almighty has one distinction. Who is welcome to the table of the Lord? Who's welcome, church family? Who's welcome in God's circle? Everyone. And what Jesus is challenging us is to not form all these relationships by which we benefit one another. Because what did Jesus come to the world to do? He died on the cross for who? For all of humanity. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious as in his sight. When God promised Abraham, leave your people, go to the land that I will show you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless you with descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. And all nations of the earth will be what, church family? All nations of the earth are to be what? To be blessed. In God's kingdom and in God's world, there is no what's what's in it, W-I-I-F-M, there we go, W-I-I-F-M. It's a G-G-I. It's the gospel of get in, church family. It's the gospel of get in. We invite people into our lives. When we throw banquets, when we throw parties, families, you might try this the next time your children have a birthday party. Who's on the invite list? What are you teaching your kids? What are the values that you're passing on? The next time you throw some kind of party, who is it that you're inviting? Well, who did God invite to his party today? Did he not invite all of you? See, my God is a big God. My God is a huge, inclusive God. And he wants to bless all people. Too many of us live in a, I mean, what I shared with you earlier about the fabulous 14 of PayPal, it's truly amazing what they have done. And they mutually benefited one another. Okay? And it is a very exclusive network, is it not? And it's amazing what they have amassed. Now, I'm not going to sit here in judgment of them today. But I hope somewhere along the way they learn the power of generosity. Jesus says what? You will be, church family, blessed. Now, when we think somebody is blessed, what do we think of? They got that house that they've always wanted. They got that property, that land that's just beautiful, sitting in the right location. They got that trophy wife. No one laughed with me on that one. I did. They got that education at that perfect university that they had always wanted to go to. When we think of being blessed, we think in terms of things, don't we, church family? The word blessed comes from a word that means huge, large, and long, happy. The Greek word, when put together, it means the prefix and then the part of the word, the rest of the word, it means huge, large, happy. Another way that I might refer to it as, it is transcendent joy. It's the greatest joy that you and I will ever, ever know. Transcendent joy and happiness. Now, what is it that we're all pursuing in life? Is it not happiness? And Jesus says, if you really want to be happy in your life, you need to open up the boundaries and be inclusive. Because, and not only that, he says when you throw a banquet, it's not you throw it for them, like you front some cash for them to have a good time. It's you throw it and you sit with them. There is nothing that demonstrates mutual love and hospitality like sharing a meal together. When we share a meal together, church family, you know what that says? It says we are equals. We are equals. In God's eyes, I think about that, you know, and it also says this. Here's what I love about God. God says, I've got this enormous reimbursement account. And when you throw a banquet, I want you to know what's in it for you. Isn't that great? God wants us to know what's in it for you. So thinking about this, I love it when I go on a trip and I go and eat at a restaurant or stay at a hotel, I'm going to a seminar, and then I come back and I turn in all my receipts to Suzanne. And that's called a reimbursement. And then Suzanne writes the check, and then one of the elders or AJ will sign the check, and I get what? Reimbursed for my expenses. So the church has a reimbursement account. Now, I do not abuse that, and I'm accountable to others. Well said and good. Now, the church has limited funds. How limited is God Almighty, church family? God Almighty has a reimbursement expense account, and he says, put it on my tab. Turn your receipts in, and you will be repaid. Not only will you be blessed, but God has something in it for you. Because God's image is in who? It's in all people. Even the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind. So church family, as you think about your networks of people, why don't you ask what God is asking you to do in your lives, to share that lunch, to share that supper, to share that banquet, to express that we are all equal in the image of God, all loved and in need of the saving grace of God. I hope that day that that prominent Pharisee understood what PayPal he really needed in his life. How about you? How about you? The lesson is yours. If we can serve you in any way, we